WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. In the Half Moon Bay, California area south of San Francisco, a San Mateo County official says four people have been shot to death at a mushroom farm and three have been killed at a trucking business. A suspect is in custody. Democrat Congressman Mike Thompson of Northern California was the chairman of the House Gun Violence Prevention Task Force.
We had a shooting earlier today in Iowa, yesterday, and down in Southern California. There's just too much of this. And enough is enough. We need to do a lot more to stop these terrible shootings from happening.
In Southern California, Monterey Park is a community in mourning after a deadly mass shooting during a Lunar New Year celebration at a dance hall on Saturday night. An attempt at a second nearby dance hall was foiled, and the 72-year-old suspect was later found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. CBS's Chris Van Cleef.
The hunt for answers brought investigators nearly 80 miles from the scene of the deadly shooting to suspects who can trans Hemet, California home, where sheriff's deputies served a search warrant, neighbor Pat Roth.
You just don't know day to day what... who's who and what's what, you know? He didn't strike me as having an angry bone in his body.
But police believe this is the man who went on a shooting spree at the Star Dance Studio in Monterey Park Saturday night, killing at least 11.
An 18-year-old man has been charged with murder in the killing of two teenagers at an alternative educational program for at-risk youth in Des Moines, Iowa. The program's founder was injured. Nine military officers who worked decades ago at a nuclear missile base in Montana have been diagnosed with blood cancer. Associated Press reporter Tara Kopp on the intercontinental ballistic missile silos at Malmstrom Air Force Base.
The ICBMs that were put in place were dug in decades ago. The bunkers are these long shafts down with a caged elevator. The whole silo itself is constantly needing repairs. And so there's a question of, you know, what's down there that they might be exposed to? What might be causing these rates of cancers that you're seeing among the men and women who have served there?
Americans are seeing record-high credit card interest rates, reaching more than 20%, and nearly 3 in 4 credit card debtors have added to their debt. Ted Rossman with CreditCards.com.
Young adults and people with lower incomes are the most likely to have added to their credit card debt. Credit card debt is the most common type of debt in America. About 4 in 10 U.S. adults carry credit card debt from month to month.
The FDA is looking into a once-a-year COVID shot, just like the flu shot. And Spotify is the latest tech name to cut jobs, axing 6% of its workforce. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
You wash your hands, you brush your teeth, but how do you clean your nose? With Navage. Navage uses powered suction to pull saline in one nostril, around the back of the nose, and out the other nostril, flushing out allergens, mucus, and germs. And it's why cleaning your nose, the body's air filter, is the next evolution in daily personal hygiene. Navage helps you breathe better, sleep deeper, and snore less. But the biggest payoff is improved health. At Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
What are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local civic media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, January 24th. The Wood County State Wildlife Advisory Committee will meet at 5:30 p.m. at the Sandhill Wildlife Area Outdoor Skills Facility in Babcock. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Subcommittee will meet at 6 p.m. at the Fair Office in Marshfield. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will meet at 8 a.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will hold their special commission meeting at 8:30 a.m. in their conference room. In Portage County, the Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m. in the Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2, immediately followed by the Joint Space and Properties and Healthcare Center meeting. The McMillan Library Family Fun Night will be from 6 to 7 p.m. on January 24th. Come make a snow globe with your kids using plastic jars, figurines, and glitter. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 23 overnight under overcast skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 29. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night, lows level off around 21. Upper 20s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 26.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Mark your calendars, 9 a.m. Thursday, January 26th. You go to civicmedia.us/million. And even if you hear one of the other hosts say it, I'm nicely asking you that you say, well, Jane and Kristen from Ask Goes Wisconsin sent me, of course. Of course.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Hello, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Wausau, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha. Hello to everyone streaming or listening to on the radio. And hello to anyone listening to the podcast. And a very happy Monday to you, Jane Mettner.
And back to you, Kristen Bry. We have sunshine.
It's sunny again.
It's bizarre.
And last week was very gray.
So enjoy it, people. Yeah. Looks nice.
It does look nice. Yeah. The sun, even when it's a little bit colder, the sun is helpful.
It's a good thing.
The vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mood-altering thing for those of us who, you know, I'm not going to say I have seasonal depression, but it's hard not to feel a little like hibernating this time of year, no matter, even though we have no snow. We have a dusting of snow.
Yeah. Little atmospheric snow.
All right. Well, for today, Monday, January 23rd, after the bottom of the half hour, we are going to do a tale of two marches and talk a little bit about both the March for Life that happened on Friday and then the Women's March that happened, the national one that happened in Madison, but there was marches, I think I read, in 46 states. And, you know, the core theme of both being on the opposite side of the same coin. So we're going to talk about that. And then at the end of this hour, if you didn't know, all that time that we thought K-cups were just terrible for the environment, apparently we were wrong.
I'm stunned.
Still doesn't make it taste any better, but it maybe is not as wasteful as we thought it was. But to start off today, I feel like we can't not talk about what happened in California yesterday. It's happened on Saturday night, and so news was circulating yesterday. But if you are not aware of what happened, you know, thousands of people were out celebrating Lunar New Year's Eve in Monterey Park, which is a majority Asian American city that's just east of Los Angeles. And during that, on Saturday night, 10 people were killed and another 10 were injured when a gunman opened fire in a ballroom dance studio. And on Sunday, the police found a suspect who had died of a self-inflicted wound, which is a 72-year-old man. I'm not going to be able to. Who can Tran in Torrance. And the van that he was in fit a description that it sounds like also tried to go to a different ballroom.
Yes, where they disarmed him.
And so as awful as this is, it could have been worse, which is terrible. And they haven't discovered any kind of motive yet. I mean, he's with him being dead. I don't know how. Yeah, I don't even know where police usually begin as they start to piece this together once someone commits like this and then kills himself.
But you talk to the remaining family members, I would assume.
He's 72.
That's where you start. See, now, and I've seen some things from some overseas publications, in particular the Daily Mail, which is questionable because it's tabloid.
Aren't they kind of like our New York Post?
Yeah, they're kind of tabloidy, but at the same time, they break things pretty frequently. And they at least are reporting that this was a domestic incident. And that he was looking either for his wife or his ex-wife. Again, I have not seen this confirmed by anybody else, but this is some of the reports from overseas, from the Daily Mail.
And, you know, it's because there was already trepidation, because there has been in the same vein of seeing an increase in anti-Semitic acts and violence. We've also, obviously, since the pandemic, has seen an increase in anti-Asian hate. And so I think with this lunar, this is like the biggest, I think, in the country, biggest Lunar New Year party
celebration
mm-hmm. fair in the country, because Monterey is a majority Asian American city. It's the first city in the continental U.S. to have a majority of residents with Asian ancestry all in one place. Of its 60,000 residents, 65% are of Asian descent. And so it was just, you know, it was an area that is like the Chinese culture hub of San Gabriel Valley. And they haven't had it for 2 years. And so I guess it was, you know, reports are saying there's people who were very excited to do this in real life.
Sure.
But also because of like a rise of anti-Asian hate, there was trepidation as far as what could happen. And, you know, and I was thinking about this morning because I figured we could not talk about it. And because I don't usually live in fear. Like, I'm the jerk who's like, I'll walk home with my headphones on. And, you know, it's like, I typically live in probably the naivete of like, nothing bad's ever going to happen. And even for me this morning of looking at some of the pictures of what was set up for the celebration, and I think of how many street festivals in Milwaukee I went to last year, and I thought about, you know, Brady Street Fest of like thousands of people in differing levels of sobriety and everything, but like
right.
the energy that gets captured there. I was thinking of Summerfest. I was thinking of so many of like Milwaukee specifically being the city of festivals, right? And so many times that this scene plays out. And at what point does the continuation of just these things happening fall under some kind of terrorism? Because of the fact that, like, and it's not an organized, they're always lone wolves. It's always one-off people that are not coordinating with each other. But as far as some of the definition of terrorism being like, you alter your behavior, it forces people to change how they live their lives. Like, the more and more people who feel like going to a 4th of July event and parade, going to a Christmas parade, going to a Lunar New Year's Eve fair, like these things that continue to happen, because it is the 23rd of January. It's the 33rd mass shooting of this year.
Unreal. The 33rd.
And I don't even know most of them. I mean, this feels like, because this is the biggest one. This is the deadliest one since Uvalde. And the other 32 that have happened in 2023 so far, I don't even know if they made the news, really. Didn't come across my radar.
Well, there's one that I can think of right off the top of my head that may not have crossed your screen. But there was a guy in Utah who killed his wife, his mother-in-law, and their three children, and then killed himself. And what was kind of shocking about this was the obituary that was left for him talked about what a great guy he was.
Really?
And, yeah, and how good he was with his kids. And he killed his entire family and then killed himself.
feel like you forfeit the right to have an obituary at that point.
I just, and there was no mention of the victims. There was no acknowledgement that he is the one who killed his entire family.
Did they get obituaries?
I'm sure they had separate obituaries, but nowhere in his obituary did it mention that he slaughtered his entire family. And I think one of the core things that we need to talk about with these mass shootings and these family killers is this male attitude that they are in the right to do this.
Well, you know, I saw this weekend, you know, Crystal Ball, she's like a progressive. Now she has her own show on YouTube, but I think she was on she worked for The Hill for a while. She's kind of like a progressive left-wing pundit person. And it was on her Instagram and she goes, "Hey, ABC News, I corrected it for you." Because ABC News had published a headline that said, "More insight on what drives men to kill their wives. To feel like they have to kill their wives," or something like that. And she called out, like, "What drives men to kill their wives?" I forgot how she changed it, but it's like the phrasing of that headline makes it seem like there's a justification, yes, for what drives men to do abhorrent, violent, illegal, deadly things against the women they love. And that it's somehow, again, always our fault.
Well,
because we're so, whatever. Yeah, I mean,
I just find that that is at the core of so much violence. And we know that domestic violence has been on the rise the last couple of years. And now with the proliferation of guns, far more of these cases end up fatal.
Well, and just to bring it back to Wisconsin, I mean, last year, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, because of a loophole, because of the boyfriend loophole, and how misdemeanors are filed of domestic violence in Wisconsin, you can have an abuse charge, a domestic abuse charge against you, and still be able to own a firearm. And that has to be, even the liberal justices last year, because I think it was voted on unanimously, and I know Kurofsky and some of the other liberal judges is in their opinion, wrote basically like, the law is the law and we can't, like, this has to be fixed in the legislature.
Right.
And of course it's,
which they won't do. No.
But the other thing is, you know, a kind of mystery around this is, how did he get the gun? Because those guns are not legal in California. And, you know, I can just hear it now as far as the gun rights people saying, see, doesn't even matter if you ban it, because people are going to do it. People are going to do what they want. So you need to be able to protect yourself and blah, blah, blah. And so, so my condolences. I mean, I think all my friends who were talking about this yesterday, it's just tragic no matter where. How do you not get numb to it?
Well, and it's normal now. This is living in America now.
Well,
33
in
23 days. It's amazing. It's horrifying.
Well, when we come back, what does the year of the rabbit actually mean? Still a little bit on topic, but maybe a little bit more educational and celebratory as far as what the Lunar New Year is and what the changing from the year of the tiger to the rabbit actually means. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina.
I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local civic media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the civic media app.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Mettenair on the board. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I thought, as we sometimes try to culturally expand what we know beyond our own cultures, that instead of dwelling more, because I don't know if there's much more to say about the shooting that happened, the mass shooting, the 33rd mass shooting in 23 days that happened Saturday night in Monterey Park. Instead, to learn a little bit more about the Lunar New Year and what the Year of the Rabbit actually is. And so this is a celebration that globally, more than a billion people in East Asia and their diasporas celebrate.
It's huge.
It's huge. And so the festivities are widely popular in China and are considered the largest annual human migration as millions return home to celebrate with family.
Go back to their small villages and from all the big cities, I guess?
Because I guess this was part of the concern as the very beginning of COVID, because this basically happened in China as everyone was going home. And I think as people were trying to get back, if I remember correctly, is kind of what was unfolding in China as the very start of COVID, it was like the spread was aligned with how many people were traveling during this time to celebrate. And so it's linked to the repeating 12-year Chinese zodiac cycle. And so this last year was the year of the tiger, and now it is the year of the rabbit. And that is a sign, ironically, that symbolizes peace and prosperity. And so it's more specifically the water rabbit. This would actually be fascinating to learn more about the crossover of the zodiac signs like Gemini and Taurus and water versus fire. Because as I'm reading this, it's the water rabbit. So is that similar to like the water signs?
Must be the
more Americanized. Is it just Americanized? I don't know. I know that I'm a Gemini and I know that Geminis are spicy. That's about as much as I know. So it's the water is supposed to designate like different nature's elemental forces, which I think is also similar to what we think of as water and air and fire signs and earth signs. In China, the celebrations follow the lifting of the country's zero. So they, not only was it the first time in Monterey Park that they were celebrating, but it's also China's had this zero COVID policy. Yeah. And so it was the first time in a long time they've been able to celebrate. And so I just thought, yes. And so it was, I have heard less of as far as things that are happening in China with this, but I just thought it'd be interesting. Do you know what year you were born in? Like the year?
I'm a rat. The year of the rat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's supposed to symbolize?
I gnaw on things. No, I don't know. But yeah, it could be, you know, there's so many other snake and tiger and dog, and yeah, I got the rat.
You got the rat.
I got the rat.
What also is funny, because I think they all have their positive spins.
But without a doubt.
Just we put our own connotations of those animals and what they actually mean. Because I was, 1986 was, mine sounds a lot cooler. I'm just going to be honest. Mine was the year of the fire tiger.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. It's tough to make rats cool. Unless, except for like Ratatouille.
Yeah.
I'll glom onto that.
Other rat.
Ben, which is way before your time.
What's Ben?
Ben was a horror movie starring a rat, and Michael Jackson sang the theme song.
What was the theme song?
Ben.
I've never even heard of this.
Oh, I will dig that up for you.
So wait, there's, the movie's called Ben, and mm-hmm. then the theme song was also called Ben, and it was sang by Michael Jackson?
Yes, and it's a movie about a rat.
And was the rat, like...
Not adorable.
A huge rat? Was it a life, like a human-sized rat?
Or? No, it was a regular rat size, but he has many companions to try to take over.
Well, I think that is still to this day one of the most terrifying, this is really going off the rails, but one of the most terrifying rat scenes I've ever seen. Well, there's certainly one. Oh, what movie is it? Someone's going to correct me on the text line. But there's not the one that, the original one that I'm thinking of is... In Bone Collector with Angelina Jolie and I think Denzel Washington, when it's a serial killer and he basically leaves someone with, like, because like, I guess rats are attracted to blood.
Mm-hmm.
And like a swarm of rats, there's just a scene of them getting just like devoured by a rat.
Yeah, that's kind of horrible.
But then there was also a movie, I want to say it was like Snatch or Two Gun Smoke. Smoking Barrels.
It was a Ritchie.
It was a Guy Ritchie. I think it's a Guy Ritchie movie where they are torturing a guy and they put a rat in a bucket on this guy's stomach.
Ugh.
And then they start to like heat up the bucket. So the rat starts freaking out. I'm sorry. This is a really bad way to start a Monday show. That's really just such a...
Well,
let's hear more about a fire tiger.
Yes. Let's talk about the good things about fire tigers and fire tiger films.
All right. So I'm just trying to find where. The personality of a tiger. Let's talk about that. Tigers are accustomed of inhabiting vast lands. I think this is actually an actual tiger, not anything to do with.
But you know,
this has totally gone off the rails.
But I did talk to a zoologist last year, as a matter of fact, about qualities of tigers. And so they're bold, you know, they have their big stripes on them, so they don't hide, they don't shy away from things.
But it's always interesting to me, like, I am someone who definitely, when I read what a Gemini is, or when I read my Myers-Briggs type, I recognize myself inside of it. But it's also hard for me to totally buy into, especially for a full year, that everyone born in that year shares common traits,
right?
Let alone everyone like born in the same 30-day time slot shares certain traits, and so I have mixed feelings about how much when you were born actually says about you and like dictates your life. But I do identify with all the Gemini descriptors.
I share a birthday with Richard Nixon.
See, exactly. Well. I don't know. Maybe there's some commonalities that you just haven't thought of yet. All right. When we come back, A Tale of Two Marches. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin. From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Portage County property tax payments are due by January 31st. Payments should be made on or before January 31st to the payee listed on your first installment tab at the bottom of your tax bill. Payments can be made on the county website with a fee. You can pay in person at the Portage County Treasurer's Office Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Wind turbines are being examined in southern Wisconsin after one collapsed near the town of Herman last week. The Dodge County Wind Farm has debris scattered across the field and a large crater from the blades and the top portion of the wind turbine falling 400 feet to the ground. No one was hurt, but neighbors heard the crash. The company who owns the turbines, NextEra Energy Resources, is checking out the other turbines on the farm as a quality control measure. They say turbine malfunctions are rare and this was an isolated incident. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 23 overnight under overcast skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 29. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night, lows level off around 21. Upper 20s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 26.
Always go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So, a tale of two marches. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. So, you know, because it was the 50th, or would have been, I mean, I guess, is it either way, it's the 50th anniversary of Roe because it was 50 years, even though Roe is not the law of the land anymore?
I think it was.
So Sunday marked the 50th anniversary of the now scrapped SCOTUS decision that granted the federal right to an abortion. And on Friday, so 2 days prior to that, the annual pro-life anti-abortion march in D.C., March for Life, happened, and it was their first big event since Dobbs came down. And then yesterday across the country, the Women's March had their national marquee event right here in Wisconsin in Madison. Mm-hmm. But across 46 states, there was 200 different events in total or something around that. And both centered on the same topic, basically, that of being access to or limiting access to abortion. And did you know anyone who went to the one in Madison?
I didn't.
I think I saw some things on social media of some people I know who were there.
There were about 1,000. I think there was a crowd of about 1,000.
Yeah, everything I've read, more than 1,000, but maybe not more, over 2,000. It was cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
And so some of the pictures that came out, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel got some good pictures. Mike DeSisti. There's a great picture of everyone in the rotunda. Not, you know, being calm, but still that was where the speakers were and everything. And, the New York Times got some good pictures and a video of people marching down State Street. And it was more interesting to me. I think it's almost like things have flipped a little bit. In the way of, like, especially for those of us in Wisconsin who now are living under basically complete abortion ban, and it becomes a motivator, I think, for so long for people who were not paying attention, who never thought this was going to happen, and then it did happen. So it's activated potentially more people because overall, majority of people want access. Think people should have access to some abortion care. Some people, the numbers dwindle when you frame it as abortion at any time for any reason. But as far as especially first trimester, and in the case of the mother, and in rape and incest, and like all these different exceptions,
right?
Most people believe that, at least where we stand right now in Wisconsin, should not be the law. And I think there becomes now on the pro-choice side more of a target versus what switched, what it sounds like, for the March for Life in the different articles I read and the different interviews that people gave of being in March for Life, where they don't have a target anymore.
Oh, I think they do.
But I think it's in the, there is.
They want a national abortion.
I don't think they're as organized, though.
Yeah, but they want a national abortion ban. And they want to get rid of contraception, too. They do.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, before, they would end the march at the steps of the Supreme Court. And this year, they ended it at the Capitol. But it's like, what is the legislation? What is, like, I'm saying in the sense that it's not that there's not some who want that, but I don't know if that is the messaging that has trickled down to everyone who showed up there on Friday.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the precision and the this is what we are going after. And before, they were just going after getting judges appointed at the different levels of the judicial system who were Catholic and Christian and conservative.
And from the Federalist Society.
Yes. And that was the, like, eye on the prize goal. And they got it, right? They got it. And now it becomes, because you just read this, the one that I read that I was going to reference. I read a couple of different ones, but the one is from Slate, which obviously is definitely much more of a left-leaning outlet. But in the different conversations they were having with all these different leaders, you know, some people were talking about how we need to support women so much that they don't even think that they have to have an abortion. And that includes things that we probably all could get on board with, which is like better, like parental leave, more flexible hours, like improving the adoption system, improving the foster care system, and things that like we could probably all actually agree on. It's like, let's make it a more hospitable environment to have children in. But then some are talking about a contraceptive ban. Some are talking about a national abortion ban. Some are talking about leaving it up to the states. Like, there's less of a distinct, this is the messaging.
This is what's next. This is what's next.
And there's more of a disparate, depending on which leader you talk to of what the goal becomes, which is maybe because, I mean, it also just goes to the fact that if it goes back to the states, now you have to have a disparate, decentralized movement. And
that's why I think that the next focus is going to be a national abortion ban. And to take it away, as much as they claim states' rights.
No, I know. And that, but I mean, at least for the time being, it's not going to happen in the next 2 years.
True. But that doesn't, they play the long game.
They do play the long game. But it's also just interesting because how this article ended was just talking about how they've, in their pursuit of their single, like blinders on pursuit of overturning this in the courts, how much they've lost in the eyes of public opinion. Now, this is not a popular opinion to have of where they stand, right? And like, and that could be part of why they are so disorganized right now. And it's like, this is the quote, said, "The lack of focus objective may be a result of a simple post-Roe reality. The pro-life movement finally achieved what it had been trying to do on the judicial front for so long, only to find it had failed miserably on the popular front." Because I don't think they have the numbers.
They don't have the numbers in the courts?
No, I don't think they have the numbers as far as, like, think about what happened in November. Like, most pundits point to the overturning of Roe limiting what the red wave wasn't. Right. And this is why right now, if we think about what happened last week in the amendments and the referenda that's going to be on the ballot in Wisconsin in April. And so that was voted on with our Republican legislature. So one is going to be a constitutional amendment on cash bail. And we as voters are going to be able to vote whether or not we want to change how cash bail works in Wisconsin and basically give more discretion to judges, because right now how cash bail works is it's simply used as a flight risk. It's meant to be there as an attempt to get people to come back and show up for court. This change would allow basically them being judges to apply bail and high bail based on just how violent they feel like the offender is. And we're going to have Jessa Nicholson back, who is a criminal defense lawyer out of Dane County, because I think you maybe missed the last time she was on here and we were talking about cash bail.
It's really interesting.
Super interesting. She is against this as someone who works in the criminal defense system, because she just, it ends up being not as effective as it sounds like it will be. But then the other one is what we talked about last week, is this amendment on welfare and anyone who's receiving a childless, able-bodied adult who is also unemployed, should they have to be looking for work in order to receive public assistance. So that was voted. That will also be on there. That is an advisory referendum.
Which means nothing.
Which means that it's just showing popularity. But what didn't get on there is referenda around abortion.
Right.
Because we all know how that would pass in Wisconsin.
Right. And so
that's what I mean as far as they don't have popular opinion on this topic.
But at the same time, they're so gerrymandered, they don't have to care. They don't have to care. They don't have to respond to what their constituents want. They don't. We're going to do this because we know better, Kristen.
Which is all the more reason that you need to be able to vote in the Supreme Court.
Yes.
If you are not registered to vote, myvote.wi.gov. If you have not gone and requested your absentee ballot, you can go do that now. The general's April 4th, but before that, we need to get through the primary. Which is
critically important.
Yes, which is February 21st. And so, just as a rundown, if you're not familiar, there's four candidates, which I think is pretty unusual. Next Wednesday, February 1st, we're going to have a class will be in session with Jim Santel.
Oh, good.
Morning Cannoli's host.
So smart.
Former attorney general. And less about getting into each of the candidates, but more about what you should look for when you are voting for justice. Because I think there's one thing for us when we're voting for people to represent us, and we look to their values and we look to the policy that they want to advocate for. But it's like so backwards to me on electing, being able to vote for as a layperson who, you know, most of us who don't go to law school, who are not lawyers, who don't interact with the legal system in a criminal way, in a civil way, in a, you know, in so many things. It's like, what as a layperson should we be looking for when we vote? And we're going to talk through that. We're also probably going to talk about the pros and cons, not that we can change anything, of justices getting appointed versus elected. But one of the things that is on the ballot for this, because these are cases that are going to rise up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is the challenge to the 1849 abortion ban. And whoever wins this election could be the deciding vote on that lawsuit, and simultaneously could also be the person who decides whether or not we get new redistricting maps before 2032. And so if you care about those issues, if you care about these issues, you probably already care about these issues if you're listening to this show, let's be honest.
That's true.
So the more important thing is for you to evangelize all of this to your friends who maybe don't care. Because as a reminder, and I'm going to repeat this and repeat this and repeat this, in the last 22 years, our worst turnout in the fall in Wisconsin was 44% voter turnout. Our best voter turnout for a spring election was 34%.
That's pathetic.
So we need to vote in April. And I need you, if you're listening to this right now, to care about voting in April. And as the month, especially once we get past the primary, because there's a lot of races that there is no primary, we'll talk more about different school board races and the Senate District 8. Obviously, with we'll see which Republican makes it out of that primary.
Right.
But if you care about this,
and you should.
And you fall into the majority of people who feel like it should be legal to have access to abortion care, you need to be voting in April. Also in February, but both. Vote in both. All right. When we come back, K-Cups. Really surprising. Did not expect this. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in. Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right.
was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform,
I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere, so the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Love coffee, I love tea. I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic you think we should cover or an idea for a guest we should have on, you should email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And Jane, do you know what this week is?
No.
It's the $1 million ad giveaway.
Oh, of course it is.
How could you forget?
Of course I know that.
If you have not heard, this Thursday, January 26th, 9 a.m., we want to give you free advertising. So if you own a business that's in Wisconsin, if you have a friend who owns a business in Wisconsin, refer them to this. But no strings attached. We literally are giving away grants for free advertising to advertise on our airwaves. And that's across, as you hear me at the beginning of each show, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, Waukesha, Madison, more that are coming. I think now we have St. Croix County with the oldies station.
Cool.
And so that's less talk radio. But we have country stations. We have talk radio stations. We have oldies stations. And so if you have a product or a service that your target customer lives in Wisconsin or any of those regions, you should be taking part in this. And so basically on 9 a.m. on Thursday, you will go to civicmedia.us/million. There will be an application to fill out. I don't think it's very long.
No, I don't think so either.
And then from there, a salesperson from Civic Media will follow up with you and work with you on creating your campaign. But the most important part, when you fill out the application, there's going to be a thing at the bottom. There's going to be a question at the bottom that says, who sent you? And you need to say, Kristen and Jane from As Goes Wisconsin. That's the most important part.
This is completely self-serving.
Yes, totally. This is totally just for us to say, see how much business, how many people that we sent
reach?
To you?
Yes.
But I honestly, we'll be talking about it until Thursday. I'm so excited to see the range of businesses that come in. And yeah, I think this is just so cool. I mean, in 40 years of radio, Jane, have you ever had anything like this?
No, never.
No.
And it really is about finding out what you as the business owner want. What mm-hmm. is, you know, do you need more foot traffic? Do you need more, you know, what is it that you want? What are your goals? And our team is going to work with you to hone in on that. And helped you craft your message. It's really a wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely. So this will not be the last time we talk about it today.
You're going to hear about it Thursday.
You're going to keep hearing about it. So this was shocking to me. This broke last week. We didn't talk about it, but it's so surprising to me. And I don't even know how they would have measured this. But yes, your K-Cups, K as in Keurig, can save the world. Maybe not save the world, but
that might be overselling a little.
But they're supposedly, apparently, not doing as much damage as I think we all thought they were with those little plastic cups that you use once and then throw away. But if you're worried about the impact of your morning brew, Canadian scientists have found that you should opt for coffee pods. Over the traditional filter brewing methods.
Coffee pods over coffee pots.
Mm-hmm. Pods over pots.
Pots over pots.
Pods greater than symbol pots. for the new bath nerds out there. You know, they've been criticized for a long time as producing unnecessary waste, but it turns out that they actually, comparatively to a pot of coffee produce less greenhouse gas emissions because they use less water, less ground coffee, and less electricity.
That just seems really counterintuitive.
It seems so counterintuitive because I feel like when you make a pot of coffee, especially if the pot is finished in a community, like a communal
setting.
Office setting, where the biggest problem is who didn't make a new pot once it's gone, is, I don't know, my brain would think that that is less wasteful than each of those people, same people in an office setting. Like, I do think probably at home. So if you're someone who just wants a 1 to 2 cups of coffee at your house,
sure,
that makes a little bit more sense to me. But the, instead of like, what I do is make it, I've actually gotten better, but before, especially when I worked from home before the show, I would make a pot. I would drink like an entire pot by myself and be fine and just be like steady hand. So I'm pretty immune to caffeine. I'm drinking less now as I'm trying to drink more water, but apparently, especially if you could, cause now they make ones that are compostable.
Well, that's
like
good.
The netting kind of bottom versus the plastic bottom. But either way, I still don't think they taste very good.
Well, and I would just, how can one save more water than the other? Isn't the amount of water the same amount of water? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm also interested if, because, you know, there's like the Nespresso, those are actually pretty good. Have you ever had an Nespresso?
Mm-mm.
So they're much more European in that they're better at making like an espresso shot. Or double shot, or and sometimes I think if you get the really fancy machine, it can also add milk to it. But it doesn't make you the very American big cup of coffee.
Right.
It's funny to me how American that is.
Having a ginormous cup of coffee?
Yeah. And like reheating it instead of what I have found in many other cultures where you have an espresso and you drink it pretty quickly versus walking around all day with your cup of coffee and then reheating it after it gets cold. But I miss that. Like, I would always want, I like a cup of coffee with like a dash of cream. And, but yeah, I wonder how this changes, because I don't think all pods are made equal.
I wouldn't think so. And call me skeptical, but why do I feel like the Keurig people are the one who hired these Canadian researchers to find out and come up with these results?
Don't you think that would have to be disclosed somewhere?
Really?
Oh, you're so cynical.
I'm just cautious.
All right. Well, we're going to link the study to today's notes, along with all the other topics that we covered. If you are listening to the podcast right now, we're going to do a little something different with how we post the podcast. We're going to post it as each hour. So it'll be 3 44-minute episodes per day versus a 2-hour-and-15 episode.
A little easier to digest.
Yeah. A little easier to navigate if there's specific topics that you wanted to or guests you wanted to hear. So if you are listening to the podcast and you're like, where's the rest of the show? Just go back to the homepage of where you found us and just click hour two and we'll be there.
It'll be there.
All right. Top of the hour news is next. And then after that, Bob Keefe from E2 is going to talk about clean jobs in Wisconsin. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
A cup of that Zambazo.
Ooh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug, and I'll cut a rug that's snug in a jug. Drive your nickel in my pot, Joe.
Taking it slow, waiter, percolator.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our Paralyzed Veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more,
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're